And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin, you are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 137, coming at you live from Chicago, Illinois. Well, not really live. We're pre-recorded, but you know what I mean. And my name is Tom Harris. Welcome along to the show. And of course, this week we're going to be carrying on with another spectacular Thor issue from the Lee Kirby era. Is any of you following Walt Simonson on Facebook? Lately, he's been posting some absolutely gorgeous artwork from his new Ragnarok project. Trust me, when that comes out, we will be covering on the show because the pages he is posting are frickin' awesome. That's going to be a great series, folks. I just know it. It looks as though he's retelling the Eddas, though I really don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting to find out what Simonson comes up with. But his art is as gorgeous as ever, if not even more gorgeous. I think this is surpassing anything I've seen out of him before. This is really good stuff, and I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, we will be seeing much more of that sometime in the near future. Okay, so really don't have much else to talk about here, so let's just go ahead and continue on. We are continuing to cover the Lee Kirby era of Thor, at least for another couple episodes. After that, I'm not quite sure. We may just take a little break from the Lee Kirby era and go moving on to something else. But anyway, let's go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar.
And indeed, this week we are going to be covering, in breathless wonder, Thor number 165. As a June cover date, June of 1969, that is, retailed for 12 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby and Vinnie Coletta. Nice cover here of Thor, and he's got his hammer back in his right hand, getting ready to strike at this dude. And he's reaching out with his left hand, which is oddly misshapen. And because of foreshortening would mean that his head was bigger than his head, which, that's got a bad awkward foreshortening here by Jack Kirby. And he's reaching out towards Sif, who's being grabbed by this big gold dude wearing a red Speedo. And she's got her sword in her left hand, which either means that she's left-handed or she is just carrying her sword in the wrong hand, which kind of explains why she's not whacking at the guy who grabbed a hold of her. Anyway, this guy's gold, and he's got blonde hair, and his hand is glowing. And the title caption says simply, "Him!" And we open up to the splash page where, of course, we have the credits. Stan the Man Lee and Jack King Kirby created this issue with Vinnie Coletta as the embellisher and Artie Simek as the letterer. Once again, we have the title of the story, Him! And it says here, it's a saga of strange, unending wonder. And we got a Stan Lee caption here. A battle has ended. The legions of Pluto have been put to rout. And now to the victors belongs their moment of triumph. And we see Thor, Sif, and Baldur standing on top of a tank, and they're holding their weapons aloft while soldiers are saluting with their backs to them. And we see that why in the next panel, of course. We see there's a big parade of soldiers going by, and tanks, and military hardware, and every single soldier has a peace sign on his shoulder. Which seems a little odd. I mean, what army is this anyway? I mean, it's not the U.S. Army. It's like the hippie army or something. I'm not really not sure. And the caption says, while the drums beat and the trumpets blare, seemingly endless ranks of marching troops pass in review to honor those who have saved a planet. So they can have all these multitudes of soldiers marching past to honor the people who fought off Pluto, but weren't there for the fight? Okay, that's interesting. Anyway, so the parade is over, and the three of them are getting down off the tank, and the tank driver's like, looks like that's the last of them. You three must be pooped from standing motionless like that for over an hour. We merely did what must be done, says Thor. And now, another task awaits. Within yon building is an unknown being, one whose powers are so uncanny that Pluto himself didst fear him. I'm not really sure how Thor knows that, other than because Stan knows that. Anyway, so he's talking to the general, who, once again, it looks exactly like Thunderbolt Ross. He says, you mean there's someone still inside the city's atomic research center? Someone, or mayhap, something, says Thor. Now, by thy leave, we shall hie ourselves hence, and learn what dread secret doth lie within. You're all free agents. I haven't the authority to prevent you from risking your necks, but I'll keep my troops alerted in case you need us. Good luck, Asgardians, or whatever it is you call yourselves. But remember, mister, whatever you may find in there is government property, so be careful not to damage it. If it be dangerous as I fear, says Thor, may Odin grant me the power to cause it damage. And now, the time for talk is truly past.
Then let us away, most noble lord, says Sif.
And they're entering the building which said Atomic Research Center last issue, but the sign that says Advanced Science Research Center now. And the general stops Thor and he says,
Thor, before you go inside, level with me. Why are you making such a fuss? What do you expect to find behind those walls?
'Tis best that I do not tell thee, says Thor, for thou art merely mortal, but the one I seek is not.
How does he know? It's annoying. So Thor opens up the door, and he enters into this really garish purple and yellow hallway with these orange glass doors, which are really tacky. And he enters into the building, and he says, behind me, the footsteps of Baldur and my lady Sif. Whilst ahead of us lies, what? Yeah, it's a weird thing to say. I'm entering a building, and I hear footsteps behind me. And we then shift scenes to the castle of the Norn Queen, Carnilla. And she's sitting on this big green chair thing, and it's covered with furs and looks like a belt, like leather belts and stuff laying just on the top of the fur. And she's wearing this purple and magenta number. You know, purple because, you know, she's evil. And she's wearing this sort of weird crown that is, it's Kirby-ish in the sense that, you know, it's very ornate, and it's not Kirby-ish in the sense that it looks like it's moving around. It's like wiggling around, some sort of magical thing. She has a sort of staff in her hand, which looks like an African mask on the end of it. And she says,
let Hag the Seeress come forth. Carnilla hath use of her mystic bewitchment.
I have heard thy summons, and I am here, my queen.
Of course, I think this might be the first appearance of Hag, is it? I'm not sure. Anyway.
I have offered my heart to the one called Baldur.
So I guess he wasn't hallucinating last issue.
And I have been ignobly spurned.
Oh, you gotta watch how you say that.
But none may spurn the mistress of the Norn.
Thou hast the enchanted power to exact vengeance, most awesome, my queen.
Seeress, I say thee nay. The meddling Odin hath placed his warrior beyond my deadly reach. And so I turn to thee, my cackling one.
Let us begin! Let us begin! The hands of Hag do fairly tremble with desire, for they shall strike and curse Asgard once again!
She seems awfully gleeful about that. The more I think about it, the more I think this must be her first appearance, and the reason why I say that is because quite often these minor characters seem much, much cooler in their very first appearance than they do at any other point during the series. And you see that in particular with a lot of the characters in Jack Kirby's comics, including the New Gods and stuff like that. Except, of course, for Sonny Sumo, who was never cool in any iteration.
To the Space Pool! The Space Pool! 'Tis there that we shall find him! 'Tis there that I shall seize him for thee, and with this very hand!
And she holds her hand up, and she's got these really long, spindly fingers, and her head is way smaller than her hand, except her head is consisting mostly of mouth, so anyway. Very stylized Kirby art here, and a little bit, like I said, you know, we're starting to see a little bit now of the Kirby to come. The Kirby whose style we're used to seeing in things like The New Gods. Carnilla and Hag approach this sort of cosmic voyeuroscope, magical space pool, I guess they call it. And it looks like this just big portal thing kind of flowing around. And it's kind of yellow and white, and it's got like bubbles in it.
None may escape the hoary hand of Hag. Now be thou silent, whilst I conjure the image of him who we seek.
And she waves her hand around, and they see the image of Baldur, and Sif is in the background.
"'Tis Baldur! Now shall I snatch him from the place called Earth!"
And she reaches her hand out. But Carnilla stops her and says,
"Hold, ancient crone! Once in view, he can dare escape! Thus let us wait. I wouldst behold what next transpires."
And we shift back to Earth, where we see what is next transpiring as Thor, Baldur, and Sif go walking down the hall of this Atomic Research Center, which is all of a sudden no longer purple. It is now green and yellow and kind of has blue borders along things. And Baldur says,
"'Tis most passing strange. Man creates wonders in endless profusion, but in the span of a lifetime cannot find peace."
"Think not upon it, brave Baldur," says Thor, "for there be great danger ahead."
"And yet, all is most quiet. Sif sees no menace. But wait, now do I sense a maddening aura of alien power."
"Mine ears perceive a subtle sound," says Baldur. "A distant hum," says Thor, "growing louder, deeper, ever stronger. Methinks it doth come from yon chamber ahead."
And Thor goes stalking off into this room, and there's this big bright light coming from the room, and Baldur happens to notice it and says,
"But hold! What dazzling radiance doth now engulf us all?"
And there's a big explosion. Bakoom! And the building shakes, and it looks like Thor and the others are knocked down and kind of put off balance by this. Thor, of course, has to state the obvious.
"The building entire doth tremble and shake. What all stand fast? I say strange forces be here at work. There be power unleashed, such as mortals have never known."
And there's this blue Kirby crackle. Kind of looks like it's crackling off of Thor's hand, but I don't think that's what he really intended. It's just sort of crackling around Thor's hand. And we shift to the room at the end of the hallway, including the sign that says, "No admittance, unknown biological specimen." The sign has been maddeningly inconsistent every time we see it. We see in the sort of sarcophagus thing that something is breaking out of the cocoon, and it looks like a person of some kind. And we get a little bit of Stanley exposition here.
"And at the end of the long glowing hallway, a figure rises, as though in answer to some inner urging, as though his time has finally come. A figure who begins to silently emerge as from a monstrous gray cocoon."
And we see this naked man hatching out of the cocoon. Well, he's wearing Speedos, so I guess he's not completely naked. And it's this blonde gold guy from the cover. And he says, "I am born once more." And he shatters the cocoon. It goes flying off from all around him. And he stands up and he says, "But I sense that it is the planet Earth upon which I stand. What diabolical destiny has brought me back to the world I fled?" And the Asgardians see the guy, and Baldur says,
"Behold, a figure doth slowly approach." "Then what's done is done," says Thor. "We have found the one we seek. Know thou that I be Thor, and now what sayest thee?"
And we get a full-page close-up of this guy's face, and he says,
"I am less than human, and far, far more than man. I was created by those who sought to father a new, all-powerful race. But they were evil, and I destroyed them! And now only I remain, I who have no name, I who must be known only as HIM!"
And we get a reference here to Fantastic Four 66 and 67, which apparently was his first appearance. And he's got these really creepy kind of black eyes with this kind of this blue ring in them. Very interesting. And we get a little bit of exposition here. He's kind of relating his origin, and we see that there's a cocoon laying down in some cave somewhere. And
I was formed within my life-giving cocoon, within the deepest caverns of a far-off isle.
Those who created me did so for the purposes of evil within their hidden citadel of science, and that I knew. Thus, when I finally woke, I trapped those who called themselves my masters and slew them all. Sick at the thought of what I had done, I wanted no more contact with the accursed human race, and so I used the very powers which they had given me to leave the Earth by the peerless power of thought. So apparently he can fly through space and shit, wearing only a Speedo, which is pretty cool. And I sought my destiny amongst the distant stars. And he goes flying off into space. But I was suddenly drawn into a strange and doubly space trap, which looks like a bunch of rocks, and there's like this pink belt around them, and it's kind of bizarre-looking trap, anyway. Where exploding meteors exploded all about me with titanic impact. And they're exploding, and he's being knocked over, and all that shit. I knew the life I had been given would soon be lost to me, unless I had but to think of it, and instantly a new protective cocoon is formed around me once again. But before the world was blotted from my sight, I saw a silent starship hover into view, and then I knew no more. And we see a spaceship, which is this purple eye-looking thing. And it turns out to be the ship of the Watcher. So, you know, Watu or whatever his name is, the Watcher. Again, you know, he hasn't been around for all that long at this point. He's only been around for, what, 20-odd issues or something. And the Watcher was the one who spotted him. He says,
I've created a harmless space trap for the purpose of catching and studying stray meteors from far distant worlds. God, how boring that sounds. But never did I dream a fellow living being would come to harm within its range. I'm the Watcher, sworn to roam the endless galaxies to study and observe, but never may I interfere in the incomprehensible affairs of others. And yet, though it was done unwittingly, I've altered the course of another's life. How has he done that? It doesn't make any sense. Thus, once again, a mocking fate compels me to violate my oath.
Yeah, twist his arm. Yeah. The Watcher violates his oath at the drop of a hat. Even a proverbial hat.
Once again, the Watcher must tamper with that which is and change the fickle fabric of what may be.
Which makes no sense because there's nothing compelling him to make any kind of interference at all. And he pulls out the sort of magnet on a stick sort of device. It's all purple and radiating and all this shit.
He says, from Earth he came, thus to Earth he must be returned. Even now an earthly satellite prepares to make automatic re-entry.
Well, obviously he wasn't very far from Earth then. It seems like he was a lot further from Earth than you'd think. The Watcher guides him in his cocoon into the spaceship thing, which says U.S. Space Laboratory on it. And it heads back into the Earth's atmosphere, and you see it, you know, burning on re-entry the way these things do.
And when it does, he who inhabits the cocoon shall be within.
And Stan goes on to explain that, you know, this last few panels was just to tell us how he got there. This him doesn't actually know that.
"'Tis wrong of thee to despise mankind," says Thor. "There be much that Thor may teach thee." "I have no wish to hear your words. I am him. I am law and truth unto myself,"
so he thinks.
"But I am lonely. I desire one to be my mate. She's pleasant to my eyes. Thus I do choose her."
Yeah, because you know, the first woman he sees, he automatically is going to want to mate with. So, great. And I had to say, you know, him is running around in this Speedo, which gets bigger and smaller depending on what panel you're in. That's just Jack Kirby for you. But he's got no junk, apparently. He's as smooth as a Ken doll. So, I don't know why Sif would want him anyway.
"Thou art mad," says Thor. "She be the goddess Sif. And I say thee, she be mine."
And Sif is like,
"He is like an infant child. He knows not what he saith."
And I kind of wonder at this point, is she talking about him or is she talking about Thor? Anyway. Him is like,
"There is no more need for words. I have no wish to harm you, so you must go."
And he reaches out and he grabs the hammer and pushes Thor, and he pushes him back, and Thor and Baldur both go flying off. It's like not really an energy blast or anything. It's just kind of he tractor beams them away or something. I'm not really sure.
"I have no wish to harm you, so you must go.
as only the one called Sif who shall remain.
Forsooth, I warn thee, do not anger Thor.
And he goes, anger? I know not. I care not of such petty emotion. Sif must be mine. There are none who may oppose me. And they go flying. And he picks up Sif and grabs her to carry her away. And she's like, madman, stay thy hand. Thou knowest not what thou dost.
I only know that once again I leave this world, but this time not alone.
And him creates an Ajax white tornado, much like the one that Thor uses to get to Asgard. And Thor doesn't want to attack. He's like, I dare not strike while Sif be in his arms. But hold, with the wave of a hand, he doth create a solar vortex. It spins faster, faster, till not even Odin could bid it to stop. And now with a deafening roar, it explodes, and Baldur says, 'Tis gone! There can be but one answer, says Baldur. He hath fled with thy lady to a distant dimension! okay, how does he know that?
Hear me, my love. I shall find thee, says Thor, all dramatic-like. Let the cosmos itself bear witness. Thor shall find thee!
And he and Baldur kind of start spinning around. Thor's whipping his hammer around, creating an Ajax white tornado of his own. And Thor's like, Baldur, to my side. None may go where Mystic Mjolnir may not follow. Now I swing him once, then twice, then thrice. And now prepare to join the Thunder God in flight.
And Ajax white tornado is forming around them. And Thor's like, behold, the vortex forms. Thine enchanted hammer hath not failed thee, says Baldur. Just as Baldur shall not fail thee when the die is cast.
'Tis done, says Thor. Now on to another world.
And there's this big explosion. And we shift scenes. We are then back on Asgard, apparently in Odin's throne room once again. And a huge cosmic voyeuroscope in the palace in Asgard. And we have a sort of astrologer sort of dude who's working on this big old sci-fi Kirby machine, and he says,
I'm a Shumani old father. I found a new long-hidden galaxy amongst the distant stars.
And Odin just kind of appears behind him wearing this big old funky blue helmet thing with, it's got these big blue metal wings on it, and then it's got what looks like this giant antenna sticking up from the middle. It's very silly looking.
Thou didst well to call thy liege. Know you, astrologer royal, that Odin doth seek the land that spawned Galactus. Hast thou found it at last?
I know not, sire. 'Tis all most passing strange.
Now hear the word of Odin. Long shalt thou study yonder world, and then when the truth be known to thee, thou shalt summon once again thy liege, but not before.
Sire, thy word is solemn law.
And he's pointing at the cosmic voyeuroscope, and he sees his weird planet that's surrounded by these weird loopy sort of belt things. I'm not really sure what they're looking at. Anyway, and we then shift scenes again where we see Thor and Baldur, and they've arrived on a distant planet, apparently, and it's like a desert planet. There's got a rock spire sticking up and these weird green mat things. They look kind of like cactuses. I'm not really sure what they are. And they've landed there.
Our journey hath ended, says Thor. Now stand we near our quarry.
What barren place is this? Asks Baldur.
Ne'er hath Baldur seen its like, except in Asgard.
It matters not, for yonder see I Sif.
And they see him, and he's carrying Sif, and Sim seems to have either fainted or she's kind of flopping. And Sim is like,
it's not possible. None could have found me. None can be a match for him.
Stay thy godly wrath, my lord. He hath not done me harm. He is but lonely and unaware.
So she has the hots for this dude.
Then stand thee from him, lady. Though quick to anger, the son of Odin can e'er forgive. Let him but vow.
I make no vows,
says him, and he blasts Thor with a energy bolt of some kind, which knocks Thor back, and he's going, argh, and knocks him down.
I call thee wretch, says Baldur. Thou didst strike whilst he did offer mercy. Now shalt thou answer to the blade of Baldur. Defend thyself, base villain.
And Baldur goes to attack him. And there's another blast kind of emerging from him. And we get a little bit of a stand dialogue here. Suddenly, from the motionless figure of him, a potent force blast issues forth, rocking the ground with the fury of 100 quakes.
I need not weapons for my defense. I was created to be power itself.
Then thou leavest me no choice, says Thor. I must destroy thee!
And Baldur turns around and says, Thunder God, look! Behind me, forming in the air. It cannot be, and yet it is. And there's a giant hand emerging from a portal, and it is the hand of Hag. And her arm has grown really big. Apparently, Hag has the power of being one of those claw machines that you see in an arcade. And it's reached down and it's grabbed Baldur by the arm and is dragging him back towards the portal.
Why so surprised, my pretties? Have you never seen the handiwork of Hag?
Handiwork. Funny.
Hag, who can bridge the dimensions themselves in the service of Carnilla. The time has come to capture Baldur. For now, without his aid, mayhap Thor shall die.
And Thor grabs Hag's hand. He's trying to pry the fingers away from Baldur's arm.
Unhand him, deadly crone. Not even spell of thine shall win the day. Tax not my patience, woman. Our fight is not with thee.
Are you not son of Odin? Do I not serve the Queen of Norns? Enemies we were and are and shall be ever. So I strike now, and you cannot pursue me.
Thor hath no need of pursuit. Thou shalt not prevail.
And he draws Mjolnir back, and he strikes her in the hand.
Back, I say! Back to the Stygian slime from whence thou came.
It is useless, Thunder God. The enchantment of the Norns is in my hand. Not even your hammer can set him free.
Abandon me, I pray, says Baldur. 'Tis Sif who needs thy strength.
Avert thy gaze, brave Baldur, for I shall now unleash such power not man nor god can bear its burst.
And Thor's whipping his hammer around real fast, and he's got this big fire ring he's created, and we see Mjolnir is actually on fire, and just kind of charging it up by spinning it around. And then he shoots all this fire out with a big old blast, and he says,
throughout the universe entire, what the fury of the thunder, what carnage of the storm now issue forth.
So it's like flaming lightning or something like that. And he blasts out with the hammer, and Hag and her hand are gone.
The hand is gone. Friend, thou art safe. But not thou nor I may dare to pause, for now we turn to Sif.
And they turn around, and he's like,
fear not, my lady, no harm shall come to. But no, I pray my eyes deceive me. We see aright, good prince. Fair Sif and him are gone. But thou didst find him once. He must know that 'twill be done again. Mayhap he'll be the wiser now, and a little longer start hath he. What if he be on the range of Mjolnir's power? No, no, I dare not think upon it.
Thor being the drama queen here.
'Twas fault of mine. Hadst thou not stopped to grant me aid? Fault? Fault? Who speaks of fault? 'Tis not a scapegoat I do seek, but she who holds my heart. And mark ye well the words of Thor. Once she be safe, vengeance must be mine. Vengeance! Such as none who live have ever known. Next issue, A God Berserk.
And that is Thor number 165. And I will have a few words to say about this after this important message.
The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, is a convention spanning the latest and greatest from the worlds of comics, movies, television, toys, anime, manga, and video games. Bringing the best of popular culture to downtown Chicago on April 25th through 27th, C2E2's show floor is packed with hundreds of exhibitors, panels, guests such as Adam Hughes, Brian Azzarello, Eve Miles, and more, autograph sessions giving fans a chance to interact with their favorite creators, and screening rooms featuring sneak peeks at films and television shows months before they hit either the big or small screen. Join us for the best weekend of the year, April 25th through 27th. For more info, head on over to c2e2.com.
And of course, Radio Free Asgard will also be appearing at C2E2, so do stop and see us, won't you? So, of course, I do have a few comments about this issue. I'll tell you something. I really didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I'm really rather ambivalent about this character of him. He reminds me a little bit too much of a really bad song from the 70s that I always hated. But, of course, as I mentioned earlier, this character later becomes much, much cooler when he becomes one of Marvel's staple cosmic characters, Adam Warlock. There's not a very much of a hint of Adam Warlock in this appearance, though. I mean, right now he's just a guy running around in a pair of boxer briefs with no toes. I guess if I had no toes, I'd be pretty upset, too. Except he also seems to be as smooth as a Ken doll. So I know Jack Kirby didn't draw bulges, but it's like, okay, the guy's in a Speedo. At least he should have something to show for it. Artwork is pretty uniformly good. Even the inking is good. I think this is, we are kind of ramping down towards the end of the classic Kirby era and sort of a transitionary stage of his metamorphosis into the artist he became on the New Gods. And you can see a little bit of it peeking out here and there. I know I mentioned that last issue. You can especially see it on this close-up page here that we have of just him's face. There's definitely some stylistic changes coming. I don't know if this is the first appearance of Hag or not. It seems like it should be. I know we've had her on the show before, particularly in the Baldur Limited, but she's actually a menacing character here, which I don't think she has been before or since. But she really actually seems like a viable threat in her big old claw hand thing. I'm not quite sure how that would work. Her arms are about the size of toothpicks, but her arm is like this enormous crane sort of thing. There can't be a lot of strength in that, but you know what? It's magic, so Hag can get away with it. Writing by Stan, yeah, pretty distinctively by Stan as well. Not a lot of Jack dialogue here. There's some, but it's mostly Stan, and it's pretty obvious that it's Stan. Like I said, I'm enjoying this story a lot more than I thought I would. And of course, there's next issue to look forward to as well in the wrap up of the story of him. All right. So that is about all for this episode, folks. Thanks very much once again for listening. If you want to email the show, we have an email address. That is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also find us over on the Facebooks and join our Facebook group. And before we log off, I just want to do a quick shout out to the two newest members of our Facebook group, because I don't think I've shouted them out yet. Well, if I have, that just means they're twice as welcome. Anyway, so first off, we have Paul Spataro finally joined the Facebook group. Of course, Paul, we know from other podcasts, most notably Back to the Bins. I appeared on an episode of that some time ago with our shameless crossover episode with the Thor 2 movie coming out. And then more recently, welcome to Dave Dixon, who I don't know, but hoping that we'll get to know on the Facebook group as we have our little discussions over there. And, of course, if you want to join the fun, please feel free to come join us on Facebook. All right, so from Chicago, Illinois, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Him, what's she gonna do about him? She's gonna have to do without him, or do without. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.